This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سرجا وقمرا منيرا وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد شكورا وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا خالدين فيها والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذريتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة العالمين بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه والسراج المنيرا First and foremost, my brothers and my sisters, I want to just take a moment out to show my appreciation and thanks to the administration of the masjid, to everyone who was involved in setting up this program, Sheikh Ahmed, Sheikh Samata, and the rest of the brothers and sisters who helped facilitate this. I know it wasn't easy to put a program like this together. We've seen how much effort and time that many of these different organizations have put into setting up these programs. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them with excellence and to grant them the highest part of Al-Jannah. Indeed, wallahi, it's really, really nice to see some of the brothers who were with me in the university. Yesterday we was in Ottawa. We met some of the brothers, Sheikh Abdurrahman Hussein, Sheikh Wasim, Sheikh Adam was with us, Sheikh Guled, all of the different brothers, and some of the other ones that I haven't mentioned, Sheikh Fahad, from those that I can remember, Sheikh Bashir. And now to see some of my other brothers, colleagues who actually graduated before me, to see them helping out and setting up these programs for a colleague of theirs, it is indeed something that is very, very pleasing to see. These are brothers that you guys need to take knowledge from, my brothers and my sisters, right? You have graduates, you have brothers who have studied, right? Who are amongst you that you should benefit from. We only don't come to the masjid when Abu Taymiyyah comes, right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of you and everyone that was involved. And our other brother as well. I want the Sheikh Samatar to read. If he can come up, inshallah ta'ala, read some verses. Please, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. They all want you to read, Sheikh. Me and him were at war with one another for... Second thing that I want to mention, my brothers and my sisters, alhamdulillah, at a lot of our events up and down the country in the UK, and also when I go out internationally, we've been getting some of the biggest drug dealers, trappers, rappers, right? People from different walks of life, all attending the programs. Sisters who go clubbing. Wallahi, there was even a sister that messaged me. I think it was on Fitnagram, right? Or Twitter, one of them. She messaged in saying how on a Friday night she was clubbing, and then Saturday evening she was sitting in my class or in my lecture. The point being, my brothers and my sisters, it brings a lot of joy seeing different people from different walks of life coming to these programs. You, as someone who regularly comes to the masjid, may see a certain type of individual coming that you are maybe not used to seeing. And I say this especially to my sisters, right? The sister may not have the dress code that you are used to seeing when coming regularly to the masjid. And likewise, our brothers. You see a brother who has a certain type of hairstyle, or is maybe wearing something, and then you begin to stare down at him, or you begin to make them feel as if they are not worthy of being in the house of Allah. Remember, the house of Allah does not belong to me. It doesn't belong to the imam. It doesn't belong to the trustees. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. The masajid, they belong to Allah. It doesn't belong to any other human being. So everyone is welcome to walk into the masjid at any time. One shouldn't be made to feel just because he is carrying out certain types of sins, then he's not welcome to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are welcome for everyone, my brothers and my sisters. So please bear that in mind. Don't treat someone tonight in a way that it is the first and the last time they come to the masjid. Please, brothers and sisters. A sister came up to us the other day in Montreal, France. Right at the end of the lecture. Four sisters. Three of them were wearing hijab. One of them was not wearing the hijab. Right, and the brothers witnessed this. She said, "Brother, can you give me some tips in how to deal with my mother who doesn't allow me to wear the hijab?" These are the kinds of people that are coming to these programs, right? And she started getting very emotional, and the brothers told me that her eyes got very watery, right? These are people who want to come to these programs to better their understanding of the deen. The fact that they came, aslan, fact that they came, doesn't that show that there's goodness in their heart? Right? Especially with this controversial, conservative individual. Right? They want to learn about the deen. They're sick and tired of hearing a watered-down version of the deen. That brings me on to another point. Some of the enemies of Islam, they've been doing this a lot to me in the last couple of months. Whenever I go to a program, they try to bombard the masjid or the organization. Right? And they try to use fear-mongering tactics to get the program shut down. They try to do that with some of the organizations here. Even when I was doing a 27 university tour in the UK, secular universities, you always have these blue-haired feminists and the rainbow team trying their utmost best to shut down the program. But they always fall flat on their faces. and they fail miserably, right? So I know that they've tried to message some of the organizations. And alhamdulillah, I always thought that Canadians were soft. No offense, guys. Right? No, not a single organization budged. Not a single organization budged. And this is what we want to see from our fellow brothers and sisters who run these different organizations and masajid. Right? Allahu Akbar. Honestly, it brought me a lot of happiness. It really, really did. Right? It really, really did. Right? Because this is exactly what they do. They try to use fear-mongering tactics to get you scared. And in reality, they have absolutely nothing to stand on. So I want to make it very, very clear from the get-go. I, Abu Taymiyyah, I'm not a hate preacher. I don't incite violence towards anyone. Not a single minority or religion have I incited violence against. I know some of the topics that we discussed are pretty controversial and colorful on my YouTube channel. But not a single video has been taken down. And that is simply because we put these disclaimers at the beginning to make it very, very clear. And so that they can't use anything against us. I, as Abu Taymiyyah, don't have my own views and opinions. I just quote the scripture. I just quote the scripture. And whatever is mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I go through a lot of studies and statistics, right, that I sometimes use to substantiate some of the programs and the lectures that I deliver. My brothers and my sisters, today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, I want to speak a little bit about the last few moments before you depart from this world. That which is inevitable is that every single one of us is going to die. No one is immortal, right? Every single individual is going to depart from this world, my brothers and my sisters, right? It could be via a car crash. It could be because of a shotgun. It could be due to a stab wound. All of these are means, right, of you departing from this world. When your time is up, your time is up. لا يستقدمون ساعة ولا يستأخرون. Right. It will not be delayed or it will not be brought forward. When your time is up, your time is up, my brothers and my sisters. Right. All of these are just means. But the question is that I want every single one of us to think about. How is it that we want to depart from this world? What do you want to be doing before the angel of death rips your soul out of your body? What is the last thing that you want to be doing? How many deaths do we need to witness, my brothers and my sisters, in order for us to flip our lives around? In order for us to take heed, Allah says in the Quran, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. It will be said to those when they are resurrected, didn't we give you enough time? We gave you enough years to work hard, right? For you to take heed. وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Didn't the nadir come to you? If you translate that literally, nadir means warner. The scholars of tafsir, they talk about what this warner was. Abdullah ibn Abbas and other than them, they said, the white hairs that began to appear on your face. You see white hairs appearing on your face and you still don't wake up from your deep sleep, right? Others, they mention mawtul aqarib. Your relatives pass away one after the other and you still don't take heed. Kafa bil mawti wa'idhan. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, death is enough of a reminder, right? أَكْثِرُوا مِن ذِكْرِ هَذِي مِن لَذَّاتِ. In another hadith, excessively remember that which is going to destroy all pleasures. And that is what? Death. Some of us are thinking and worrying about 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, what I want to acquire, what I want to do. What guarantee do we have that we're going to live till tomorrow, brothers and sisters? A couple of years ago, we had an 8 months that I've never ever experienced. Wallahi al-Azim, it shook the tribe. It shook the family. And some of you guys may have heard this online, right? I lost three relatives in the space of 8 months, brothers and sisters. right? The first was my younger brother, 22 years of age, stabbed in the neck, brothers and sisters. Stabbed in the neck. Can you imagine what the parents were going through? What the relatives end up going through, right? Fast forward, couple of months after that, another cousin of mine, car crash. 24 years of age. I buried both of them with my own two hands. We would go for Umrah with a bunch of drug dealers and roadmen. Some of them, my brothers and I said, you know what I would say to them? Don't make me the one who is giving that reminder at your grave. How many reminders do we need? A couple of months after that, I went back to Saudi Arabia. Another time I went for Umrah, left Medina, went for Umrah, sitting in front of the Kaaba. I get a message, your 18-year-old cousin been stabbed in the chest. 18 years of age, stabbed in the chest on one of the most busiest roads in Birmingham. Coventry Road in Birmingham, the very well-known infamous road. Three relatives, brothers and sisters, right? Like I said before, it could be a stab wound, it could be a car crash, it could be anything. Your time was written, right? A very, very, very long time ago. Some of us live life as if, my brothers and my sisters, we're going to live to the age of 80 or the age of 90, right? Go to the graveyard. How many 2,000s are you going to see? Walking around the graveyard, my brothers and my sisters, 2,000s are you going to see, right? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, كنت قد نهيتكم عن زيارة الخبور. I initially prohibited you from visiting the graves. Now I say to go to it. Go to these graves. Why? Why? فإنها تذكركم بالآخرة. It causes you now to reflect on the hereafter. وتزهد في الدنيا. And to overlook the pleasures of this world. Right? Go to the grave. I don't care what is going on in your life. You might be the biggest trapper, the biggest drug dealer, walking on the face of this earth in the most arrogant of way. Go to that grave and stand on top of it, 8 feet down into the ground. Every single one of us are going to be admitted into that grave, brothers and sisters. And then tell me whether you want to continue this trap life or this satanic life that you're living, right? How many reminders, brothers and sisters, do we need in order for us to wake up? Right? You got people killing one another, taking each other's lives like it's happy days. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us about how sacred the Kaaba is. I'm sure a lot of us, we saw that video of DJ Khaled when he went to the Kaaba. Right? What did looking at the Kaaba do to DJ Khaled? Someone who's involved in sin. I seen a video before and after, right? Him and some Saudis, right? They're moving their heads around due to some track that they're listening to. Before and after. But the moment he saw the Kaaba, this man, who perhaps his heart has become so blackened because of what he's involved in, right? Humbled. It brought him to tears. It brought him to tears, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Upon seeing the Kaaba, let me ask you guys a question. Right? Would any of us even think about punching into the Kaaba or shooting at the Kaaba or striking the Kaaba? Would that even cross anybody's mind? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, لَهَدْمُ الْكَعْبَةِ حَجَرًا حَجَرًا. That you destroy the Kaaba and you demolish it and then you move parts of it one after the other is a lesser of a problem in the eyes of Allah than taking the soul of a Muslim. You know, destroying the Kaaba is lesser of an issue in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Than taking the life of an innocent Muslim, right? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا. If two Muslims, they square up to one another. Two Muslims, they both have their weapons and they squared up to one another. Al-qatilu wal-maqtulu fi an-nar. The one who killed and the one who was killed, both of them are in the hellfire. The companions, they asked, right? The companions, they asked. They said, we understand the one who killed, he's in hellfire. How about the other? He was killed. He didn't kill. Why should he be in hellfire? إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَى قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ. He was extremely eager. He had strong determination. He wanted to kill as well, right? Except that the killer got there first and took his life. Both are in the hellfire, my brothers and my sisters. What kind of life are we living, right? Something that we take so lightly. Sometimes we hear guys in the UK, and I'm sure it's no different here. Just go stab him up a little bit, teach him a lesson. And then he ends up killing him. Just get his knees or shoot him in the knees. And then he ends up taking his life. Right? My brothers and my sisters, we hear a lot about the good ending, the bad ending. I'm sure a lot of us, we've seen videos going around. Right? Of one holding the mushaf. Sah? He's holding the mushaf. Or he's maybe praying in the house of Allah. At around 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. Do most people come to the masjid at 9 or 10 a.m.? Let's be honest. When do they normally come? Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. The rest of the time, they're working. And there's no problem with that. But this man walks into the masjid at 9 and 10 a.m. and he's praying. The only thing that sees him after Allah is that CCTV. It managed to capture the last few moments of his life. Right? When I was in Medina, my brothers and my sisters, I seen a brother, he was lying down, the time of the salah, the iqamah is going off in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid. He stood up and he started walking towards the front rows of al-Masjid al-Nabawi. And guess what happens? He drops dead right in front of my eyes. When all of this happens, my brothers and my sisters, do you think it happens by chance? You think all of this happens by chance, my brothers and my sisters? When we see this, we think, oh, I want something like that. I want to die in my salah. Right? I wish I could die like that, my brothers and my sisters. Everybody wants that. But do you think it happens by chance? These are examples of a husnul khatimah, of a good ending, my beloved brothers and sisters. The principle is, ya jama'at al-khayr, if you don't, the principle is, وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ. I hope we can write that, right, in gold. Something for us to remember all the time. Whoever's excessive in doing something, he's very likely going to die like that. Isn't that common sense? Whoever's excessive in doing something, he's very likely going to die like that. This wonderful story that I came across, right? And perhaps inshallah ta'ala we can take inspiration from it. There is a great muhaddith, a scholar of hadith. His name was Abu Zur'at al-Razi. He was on his deathbed, right? He had two companions. The first, Abu Hatim al-Razi, and also Muhammad ibn Muslim, right? They had this kind of like student teacher relationship with Abu Zur'a, even though they were contemporaries. They knew he was on his deathbed. However, they felt very shy to get him to do the talqeen. What does talqeen mean? Does anyone know? Talqeen means when you're on your deathbed, right? Someone comes and he tries to get you to say, La ilaha illallah. Right? Hoping that the last thing that comes out of your mouth is the kalimat al-tawheed. I'm sure we've all heard of the hadith, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhal al-jannah. Whoever's last statement is la ilaha illallah, what happens? He will enter into al-jannah. Everyone here, if you ask them, say la ilaha illallah, they can do it. Is there anyone here that struggles to say la ilaha illallah? Can anyone, right, struggle, my brothers and my sisters, with the kalima? Perhaps no one can. You think it's that straightforward on your deathbed, my brothers and my sisters? You think it's that straightforward? We can say it now. You think it's that straightforward on your deathbed? Right. So the hadith says, whoever's last statement is La ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah. He will enter into Al-Jannah. So when one's on his deathbed and you got him to say La ilaha illallah, if he says anything else after it, we have to restart. After he said La ilaha illallah, khalas, stop. Don't say anything else to him, hoping that's the last thing that comes out of his mouth. But if he does say something, like for example, what happened to my money? Where is it going? Try to get him to say La ilaha illallah again. Are you brothers and sisters with me? So he's on his deathbed. So they planned amongst themselves, how can we get him now to start doing the talqeen, to say La ilaha illallah. They said, let's get him to revise hadith. So they went to him, Abu Zur'a al-Razi. And he said, let's revise some of the hadith of when one is on his deathbed. So then because he was a great scholar in hadith, لَوْلَا الْإِسْنَادِ لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ. If it wasn't for the chain of narration, everyone will go and say as they wish, right? So he began to mention the chain of narration of the hadith. قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا أبو عاصم النبيل قال حدثنا عبد الحميد بن جعفر عن صالح بن أبي عريب عن كثير بن مرة عن معاذ بن جبل, who was the companion that narrated this hadith. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and now he's on his deathbed about to narrate the hadith. You guys know the end of the hadith, right? Whoever says it, he will enter into Al-Jannah. مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Last thing that comes out of his mouth is the ha. What was the end of the hadith? Enters into Jannah, right? We don't want him to say it. He will enter into Al-Jannah, right? That's the last thing that came out of his mouth. The ha. La ilaha illallah. And he departed from this world. This man, my brothers and my sisters, he lived the life of Quran Sunnah. Learning the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You want to die like that? Be someone, my brothers and my sisters, who strengthens his tawheed. Who learns about who Allah Azza wa Jal is. You know, one of the most common questions that I receive all the time, you know what it is? Brother, I want to practice, right? However, I don't feel that connection with Allah. I feel spiritually dead and empty. I don't feel that love that I should have for my Lord. What is the issue, right? I'll tell you guys, I know there are people here that respect certain types of individuals. Let's be honest here. A lot of you guys respect Andrew Tate, right? Huh? By the way, this is not an endorsement. But the reason why you all respect him is because of all the things that you came to know about him. He achieved this. He had this mawqif. He did that. He bought this Bugatti. He sold this. He made all of this money. We all tend to respect him, right? Sah. And I'm sure my sisters as well, there are people that they respect that have role models. Pay attention, my brothers and my sisters, right? How do we expect to love Allah or to have that connection with Allah and we know absolutely nothing about him? I've been saying this a lot in my lectures. We don't know anything about Allah. How do we expect to even have that connection or that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We know soccer teams, right? Basketball teams. If I ask you about LeBron James, you know everything about him. Right? We know everything about these rappers. What was that rapper called that you guys told me about earlier? Top five. Right? We know the ins and the outs of their lives. Where they are, how they live their life, and whatever have you. These are non-Muslims, my brothers and my sisters. Have we gone out our way to learn about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, my brothers and my sisters? Right. If you look at a lot of these kuffar, what happens when they go through a couple of problems here and there? What is it that they do? Who can tell me? Huh? They smoke. Cannabis is legal here, huh? It says, come and get me. Right. They begin to drink. Why are they drinking? In order to make themselves feel better. The man's feeling miserable. He's depressed. So I always say, they drink to forget. We do dhikr to remember. People begin to turn to these drugs in order to distract their minds. You know cocaine, what they call it in the UK? Britain's open secret. Who do you think is consuming it? The junkie, the nitty guy that you see rolling around at the bus stop when you go for Fajr? Wallahi la, not only him. Professionals are consuming it. Right? People that have money are consuming it. I meet drug dealers all the time. Right? All the time. Not like that, before you take the wrong end of the stick. All the time I come in contact with them. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, they are empty. As he's walking out of his car, so arrogantly, with one of the latest cars you can think of. And then what? He's sitting there, feeling sorry for himself. Right? All down and out, miserable. But then as soon as he walks off again the way he came. This is the reality. So they smoke and they consume and they abuse these drugs in order to make themselves feel better. However, my brothers and my sisters, if we knew who Allah Azza wa Jal was, Al-Hakim, when things start going wrong for us, just understanding Allah Azza wa Jal being all-wise. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ We'll memorize it, Surah Teen. Isn't Allah Azza wa Jal the most wise? From those who have wisdom, that everything happens for a reason. Allah doesn't take something away from you because He hates you or because He wants to oppress you. Perhaps He may do that in order to bring you back up stronger. How many a time have we been in a situation where we lost something, right? And we thought that that was the best thing for us. Years go by, right? And then that's when we say, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today. Isn't it so, brothers and sisters? To give you guys an example that you can relate to. You really badly want to marry that sister. You do everything in your power to acquire her. And it doesn't happen. To make things worse, your best friend comes along and he snatches her from under your nose. Judas, huh? Stabs you in the back. Yes, go by, my brothers and my sisters, and Allah blesses you with a woman that has qualities and characteristics that the mind can't imagine. That's when you say, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today. But the kuffar are sitting around feeling sorry for themselves, drinking their lives away. Sah. What does the Prophet ﷺ teach us? وَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ When things start going wrong or you miss out on something, say قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ Allah decreed it. Don't say if only, I did this and I did that. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Because if only is going to open a door for the devil. Now we understand everything happens for a reason. Allah is all wise. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carry out His plan. And He knows better than anyone else. Wallahu ya'lamu antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you don't know, my brothers and my sisters. This man lived the life of Tawheed. You want to die upon La ilaha illallah, my brothers and my sisters? Right? Be someone who learns about Allah and the rights that He has over you. Right? And the only source of information that we have of Allah is none other than His names and His attributes that have been extrapolated from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Are you brothers and sisters with me? You want to be in a better place spiritually, start learning about Allah. Otherwise, you're going to keep on going round and round and round. Tell you. Sorry. I seen this guy was getting distracted. I was like, what is he doing? Huh? Are you brothers and sisters with me? Are you brothers and sisters with me? Live a life of tawheed. Sorry, it's fine. Huh?
You want to die upon La ilaha illallah, my brothers and my sisters, you have your answer.
It doesn't just happen by chance, right? The more you are involved in La ilaha illallah, in the Tawheed, in the Quran and the Sunnah, you might end up getting a death like this.
of Abu Zur'ah al-Razi. Right. That then brings me on to my brothers and my sisters. And we're going to finish with this. Su'ul Khatimah. A bad ending. Right? A bad ending. The scholars, they split this into two. Dying, and the last thing that you were engaging in was a sin. That's one part. The other part is doing something, my brothers and my sisters, that is maybe from the matters of the world, dunya, glitters and the glamours of this beautiful lie. That's what we call it, right? Especially in today's day and age, my brothers and my sisters, wallahi, scary times. If you are someone with children, right, you should be terrified. And if you don't have children, I'm sure everyone here is looking to get married. If you're not looking to get married, there's something wrong with you. Come see me, right? After getting married, that excitement dies down. You're looking for the next big thing, which is to have children. It comes with a huge responsibility, right? I'm sure my brothers and my sisters, we are well aware of what is taking place in schools, right? That which is being shoved down the throats of our children, right? And slapped on their faces. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Their ideology, their fitrah, their natural disposition is being distorted. You know, my brothers and my sisters, the one who narrated the most hadith, who was he? Does anyone know? Abu Hurairah. We're going to Abu Hurairah Masjid tomorrow, inshallah. I hope to see every single one of you guys. The one who narrated the most hadith was none other than Abu Hurairah. Who was second in line? Does anyone know? According to who? Huh? Give me evidence, guys. According to who? That was subhanAllah, the way you guys said it, yani, it's like a unanimous agreement, huh? According to As-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, who's got an Alfiyah, a 1,000-line poem, he says, وَالْمُكْثِرُونَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَثَرِ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةِ يَلِي بْنِ عُمَرِ. The one who narrated the most hadith was Abu Huraira, and then Abdullah ibn Umar. Yes, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an is in the top five. We'll go off with that. Do you know how many hadith he narrated? Abdullah ibn Umar? He's guessing. 1,630 hadith. Why am I mentioning all of this, my brothers, my sisters? Put your hand up if you've been to the Kaaba. After we finish doing tawaf, where do you go? Safa and Marwa, right? Safa and Marwa is from the places where your du'as get accepted. Out of all the du'as that Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, could make, you know the du'a that he would make? Allahumma, inni as'aluk, kama hadaytani ila al-islami, an la tanzi'ahu minni. He would say, Allahumma, innaka qult, ud'uni astajib lakum, fa innaka la tukhlif al-mi'ad. Oh Allah, you promised, call on to me, and I'm going to respond, and you never break your promises. Ya Allah, just as you guided me to al-Islam, don't take Islam away from me. Wa anta tawaffani wa ana muslimun. Allow me to die as a Muslim. It's Abdullah ibn Umar, my brothers, my sisters. Right? Aren't we more in need to make this kind of dua? Especially with all the isms and the schisms and the rainbows and whatever have you around us, right? That we are being bombarded with, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm, my brothers and my sisters. He wasn't the only one, right? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubina ala deenik. O turner of the hearts, keep our hearts firm. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, they all had similar du'as, right? توفني مسلما والحقني بالصالحين. Yusuf said, وجنبني وبني نعبد الأصنام. Ibrahim said, the man who broke the idols and is making dua, Ya Allah, prevent me and my offspring from worshipping idols.
Right? Musa likewise, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow them to die as Muslims and in the right state. My brothers and my sisters, these are examples from books of the scholars of the past. I really, really hope it strikes a chord. And perhaps it may well be, right, one of the most important things that you take away today. Examples of a Su' al-Khatima. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions in his kitab al-Jawab al-Kafi. It's one of those books that really, really changed the way I think, I should say maybe what it changed my life. It's even translated into English, the spiritual sickness and its cure. It's really allowed me to put, right, perspectives into place. Right? Things began to fall into place upon going into this book when Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr was teaching us in the Haram. Right? It's called The Spiritual Sickness in Score. It speaks about the consequences and the effects of sins. Many people, my brothers and my sisters, they think when you sin or when you oppress another or when you harm another, the only time you have to answer to these sins is when you meet Allah. You're wrong, my friend. Your sins will come back to haunt you sooner or later. Especially if you're oppressing others. How many guys that I see on the streets, they would break people's legs, stab them up just to teach them a lesson, and then eventually they ended up in a wheelchair. Examples after examples. Right? You may ask, how is it possible that someone is doing great and then just before the end of his life, he dies a very, very bad way? You know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is mahal ishkal li kathir min an-nas. Wa inna ar-rajula la ya'malu bi 'amali ahli al-jannah hatta ma yakunu baynahu wa bayna al-jannati ila dhira'. He keeps doing. Imagine now, guys. Someone lives for 70 years, 69 years, he's doing righteous deeds. And then there's only a little bit left before he goes into al-jannah. Right? Little bit left. He does the actions of the people of the fire, and that's how he dies. Ibn Rajab, he says, لِدَسِيسَةٍ فِي قَلْبِهِ, because of a disease in his heart. You know what the disease is? I'll tell you guys. And I've seen it happen to a lot of people. Even a brother who went for Hajj and he came back to try and flip his life around. But the kind of mindset he had was, wallahi, I already made Tawbah once. Let me just go to the club. Right? Let me just go hang out. Let me just go play around with her. I'll do it and then I'm going to make Tawbah again. This is a disease. He knows what is right and what is wrong. I already made Tawbah once. He thinks he can deceive Allah. And guess what? How many people do we find? I will and I shall repent. How many people went to sleep and never woke up? And they kept on telling themselves, I shall and I will and I want to. Make dua for me. Right? As soon as he leaves, he goes back to his ways. Perhaps that will put it into context as to why someone may die like that. So Ibn al-Qayyim here is saying, there was an individual who was on his deathbed, my brothers and my sisters. They tried to get him to say, La ilaha illallah. Everyone here can say it, like I said, it's not that straightforward on your deathbed, right? Guess what this man who's on his deathbed said? He's on his deathbed, he says this, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنِّي وَمَا أَعْرِفُ أَنِّي صَلَّيْتُ لِلَّهِ صَلَاةً فَلَمْ يَقُلَّهَا. Are you guys right? Are you guys right? Adiga, stand up. The one with the imama, huh? It's always the guy that turns around, hey, Adiga, Tan, come see here. Ha. Stand up. Huh? I know, so come move again. Hey. Huh? No, it's not Adi. Joke so. Hey, stand up. Please come see here. Do the walk of shame. Hey. Don't worry, you haven't done anything wrong, just come here. Brothers, pay attention, we're nearly done. These statements are very, very powerful. He's on his deathbed, he says, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنِّي وَمَا أَعْلَمُ أَنِّي صَلَّيْتُ لِلَّهِ صَلَاةً فَلَمْ يَقُلْهَا.
How is this going to benefit me? Right? I never prayed a single prayer. And he never said it. Right? Do you guys watch soccer? Huh? That's how you guys say it, right? Have you guys heard of an individual called Alan Shearer? Do you guys know him? Or do you guys watch hockey? I heard Canada's known for hockey. He said only the Adans. What about Adiga? Huh? And I even heard Sheikh Murtada one time mention this, and I heard others as well say this to me directly. This guy was one of the biggest or greatest football scorers, soccer scorers, sorry, right? He still holds the record of the amount of goals that have been scored. The Sheikh said to me there was a child who was crazy, this football player. He's like LeBron James in the basketball scene, right? You can just substitute it. You walk into this young man's house or into his bedroom, everything is Alan Shearer. Wallpaper Alan Shearer, his duvet Alan Shearer. He wakes up to Alan Shearer and he goes to sleep Alan Shearer. They tried to get him to say La ilaha illallah, he was almost dead. What do you think he said? Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer. Well, you guys are laughing. I don't find it funny. Right? وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever is excessive in doing something is very likely going to die like that. Right? Another example, my brothers and my sisters, Ibn Rajab mentions in his explanation of 40 hadith, it's called Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, when speaking about one of the righteous scholars of the past called Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawad. He was on his deathbed, this individual, and Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawad walked in. And they tried to get him to say La ilaha illallah. You know what this guy on the deathbed said? Huwa kafirun bima taqul. He's a disbeliever in what you're asking him to say. And then he died. Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawad did some digging up to see what kind of life he lived. Do you know what kind of life he lived, brothers and sisters? He used to be an alcoholic. And then that's how he died. Another example, my brothers and my sisters, that Imam al-Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, right, about a man that used to sit. He never used to do it himself, but he used to sit with people who used to drink. Sometimes a brother says to me, wallahi, I'm not doing it. I'm just sitting. I'm just, you know, kicking back with the lads, right? Or with the homies. He's on his deathbed. They tried to get him to say La ilaha illallah. What do you think he said? He never used to do it. He just used to sit with them. Right? Ishrab wasqini. Drink and pour the alcohol for me. And that's how he died, brothers and sisters. He just used to hang around with them. He just used to sit with them, my brothers and my sisters. We're not done, my brothers and my sisters. Have you guys heard of chess? Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, or was it al-Dhahabi, in his Kitab al-Kabair, he talks about someone who used to love playing chess, shatranj, right? He's on his deathbed, he used to do this a lot. They tried to get him to say, La ilaha illallah, what do you think he said? Checkmate. وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever is excessive in doing something is very likely going to die like that. Are you brothers and sisters with me? That is the general principle. Right? Let me ask you guys a question. Playing ball, basketball is haram. Playing soccer is haram. I'm a bit of a baller myself, guys. I will humiliate you on the football pitch. Right? Let me ask you guys a question. Does anyone want to die on the basketball court? On the soccer pitch? Football pitch? Right? No one is saying that it's haram. And again, this is just common sense. If you're doing this all the time, what's the likelihood that you will die on that? Using your phone is a haram? Is it haram, guys? Right? I use an Apple phone. I was going to say something about Samsung, but I don't want to upset my brothers. Huh? They've been getting offended. I've been very opinionated about Samsung. I'm a diehard, loyal Apple fan, guys. You're on your phone all day. Using social media is a haram, guys. But if you're on there all day, every day, my brothers, all day, every day, is that how you want to die? On TikTok, just skimming, skimming, skimming. Inshallah ta'ala, you're all going to delete TikTok before you leave this masjid. Right, the devil's app. Right. Like I said, وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهُ Whoever is excessive in doing something is very likely going to die like that. And that's common sense. The last one that I want to mention, my brothers and my sisters, is what Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi made mention of. Actually, no, there's another one as well. About a man who used to hum and sing. And I'm going to mention exactly what Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned. And by the way, he passed away 700 years ago, right? He said, كَانَ يُحِبُّ الْأَغَانِي وَيُرَدِّدُهَا He used to love music. And he used to hum and say it repeatedly all the time. He's on his deathbed, my brothers and my sisters. What do you think he said? You know what Ibn al-Qayyim says? He would say, tentata, tentata, tentata. And that's how he departed from the world. You know, I mentioned this on the minbar on a Friday in one of the biggest mosques in Manchester called Masjid Furqan. I think you guys have maybe seen it. Run by our Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad Ali. A Somali uncle came up to me and he said, I want to share something with you. Right? And he said, in your next lecture, mention it. He goes, I went back home to Somalia and there was a lady who was on her deathbed. Every time they tried to get her to say La ilaha illallah, she would move her head to the left. She would move her head to the left and then she would hum. What kind of life did she live? You know, whenever there was a party, they would call her over, right? To do these Somali songs. Huh? Whatever, what do they call it? Huh? Karambo. Whatever it's called. You know when they put on the dirah and they start playing that thing? Right? This is what she was known for. They would invite her over, give her a bit of money, and this is how she would do. And he goes, Wallahi, I witnessed it. Right? You may think all of these narrations or all of these statements are always out of touch with reality. Here is one for that which is very well known, my brothers and my sisters, of that which happened now. My mother one time told me that there was his brother. He was on his deathbed. He had HIV or AIDS or something along the lines. They tried to get him to say La ilaha illallah. He said, bring my girlfriend, bring my girlfriend. He's about to die. The man has AIDS or HIV. And that's how he departed from this world, my brothers and my sisters. Right. Another example that Ibn al-Qayyim mentions about someone who used to just be doing business all day, every day. And he says, أخبرني بعض التجار. Some businessmen, they told me this. An individual was on his deathbed and they tried to get him to say La ilaha illallah. And you know what his response was? هذه القطعة رخيصة. Right? This is very cheap. Right? هذا, right? زبون جيد. Right? هذا مشتر جيد. This is a good customer. And that's how he passed away. And this was the last thing that came out of his mouth. The principle is, وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ Whoever is excessive in doing something is very likely going to die like that. And then it doesn't end there, my brothers and my sisters. After that, you are resurrected. Right? The end of the narration is, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُبْعَثُ كُلُّ عَبْدٍ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ Hadith Jabir. You'll be resurrected upon that which you used to do. Right? وَالْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبْ And you'll be standing with the people that you love. If you love these rappers, top five, huh? Imagine now you being brought with him on the day of resurrection and you guys, what, are side by side or any of these other rappers that we idolize. Right? Whatever you were doing before, you'll be resurrected upon that. We are told, my brothers and my sisters, about someone who died in the state of ihram. Right? يُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَبِّيَا On Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will be resurrected and he's saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik. We are told about a shaheed, a martyr, right? Someone who died for the sake of Allah in jihad. And just in case we have CNN or Fox News here, ready to take out of context, I'm about to say, I'm not recruiting for ISIS. Jihad is part of our religion. I am unapologetic about it. And they are what? Rules and regulations, not what they are doing, right? Because I know, even amongst us, huh? Everywhere I go, they're following us around. Waiting for every slip. So they can what? Have a field day with it. And we're not going to give them a chance. Right? You died in al-jihad. This is not jihad, what they're doing on the streets of Toronto, guys. Two Muslims are squaring up to one another. We already mentioned, al-qatil wal-maqtul fi an-nar. The one who killed and the one who was killed, they're both in the hellfire, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. Right? So he died in jihad. Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't wash him. He'll be resurrected Yawm al-Qiyamati, lawnuhu lawnu damin, wa rihuhu rihu misk. Right? Where he was wounded, it will have the color of blood and the rih, the smell of musk. We are told, my brothers and my sisters, also, right? The one who died upon the shahada saying La ilaha illallah, he will be resurrected saying La ilaha illallah. Another example that I've written down here, my brothers and my sisters, right? Someone who died in a state where he was drunk or high. Both come under this, my brothers and my sisters. Does it happen? Every single Eid we hear something similar to this. Right? I've been saying it in Ramadan. The video was going viral. That 1 minute clip, how I hear every single year, where someone dies either maybe with alcohol in his mouth. Now you have these balloons, right? Or he's inside of a room with a sister doing some haram. Every single Eid I hear about that. Right? Here the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, Hadith Anas and Abi Hurairah. مَنْ مَاتَ سَكْرَانًا فَإِنَّهُ يُعَايُنُ مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ سَكْرَانًا. Whoever dies intoxicated in the grave, right? Or should I say before, when Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, comes to him, he will be staring at it in an intoxicated manner. And then in the grave, right? وَيُعَايُنُ مُنْكَرًا وَنَكِيرًا سَكْرَانًا. The two angels, right? I will come to you, Munkar and Nakir. Right? In a state of intoxication. وَيُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ سَكْرَانًا. And then on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ he'll be resurrected and he's in a state of intoxication. Right? إِلَى خَنْدَقٍ فِي وَسَطِ جَهَنَّمْ يُسَمَّ سَكْرَانًا. And then he'll be taken to a pit from the pits of Jahannam. It is called Sakran. And the examples are many. Likewise, someone who is arrogant. We walk on the face of this earth in an arrogant manner, right? Thinking that we are something. You know, I live on the 15th floor in Leicester, right? You look down, you see human beings walking around, right? They're like a dot. That's how small you are. No matter how much money you make or how much knowledge you've acquired, you are that dot that you see walking around. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, يُحْشَرُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَمْثَالَ الذَّرِّ فِي صُوَرِ الرِّجَالِ يَغْشَاهُمُ الذُّلُّ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانِ. The proud, arrogant individual will be gathered on the day of judgment resembling tiny particles in the image of men. They will be covered with humiliation everywhere. فَيُسَاقُونَ إِلَى سِجْنٍ فِي جَهَنَّمْ يُسَمَّى بَوْلَسْ تَعْلُوهُمْ نَارُ الْأَنْيَارِ يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ عُصَارَةِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ طِينَةِ الْخَبَالِ. They will be dragged into a prison in hell called Bulas, submerged in the fires of fires, drinking the drippings of the people of the fire, their waste, that's what you're going to be drinking. Filled with derangement. Right? You killed someone, there's a narration that is actually weak. You will be carrying his head on your shoulders. That person that you took his life, you're going to be what? Resurrected holding him, my brothers and my sisters. How do you want to end your life? My brothers and my sisters, a humble request. Take this reminder and flip your life around. The door of repentance is open. I don't care how many lives that you have taken, how much haram you've done. You can take 99 steps, or should I say a million steps away from Allah. You only need one step to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One step to Allah jalla fi'ala. The door of repentance is open. Even if you leave the religion, the door of repentance is still open for you to come back. Right? Life is too short. How many bodies are we witnessing being buried, my brothers and my sisters? When are we going to wear the hijab, my sisters? When are we going to do that which is pleasing to Allah, my sisters, please? Don't let it be that the only time you are covered is when you are covered being admitted into the grave. Don't let it be that that's the only time that you are covered, my brothers and my sisters. Right? We'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala. I hope you guys benefited from this reminder. Again, I just want to say thank you to every single one of you guys, right, for really turning up. Tomorrow we have a program in Abu Huraira, and we're going to speak a little bit about one of the best chapters in the Quran, Surah Yusuf. Especially, you know, the part where she locked him in the room. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was granted half the beauty of mankind. Half the beauty of mankind, utiya shatr al-husn. And she was absolutely what? Blown away by how handsome he was. She couldn't control herself. Lust can at times be uncontrollable. So she locked him in the room and then she said, hey Talak, let's get it on. That part, how to deal with these temptations and modern day fitan. We'll discuss that tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. And I hope to see every single one of you guys. There will be a Q&A, right? So if you guys have any questions, you guys can write, inshallah ta'ala. The brothers are handing over these papers. Can I ask you guys a question before we leave? Have I incited violence? Have I incited hatred? Can you say it louder for the cameras? Jazakumullah khair. CNN and Fox News can go home disappointed.
بسم الله والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. You know, my dear respected brothers, and likewise sisters, bin Nilay al-Kareem, I just want to remind myself and you guys as well, as this is a very beautiful opportunity that you guys have. As Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You have an opportunity to ask. For the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned that two individuals, they will not learn. One of them being the shy one, and the other being the arrogant. So take advantage of this opportunity, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ الْكَرِيمِ. And we have some questions here already, inshallah. I'm going to ask the Sheikh. The first one being, can you shed some light on the importance of keeping good company?
My brothers and my sisters, I think this is like pretty straightforward and it's pretty obvious. If you hang around with bad people, you're going to what? Walk away with bad traits and whatever have you. Right? I'm going to just switch this up a little bit. You know, some sisters have been asking me throughout the different programs that I've been delivering, what are some tips? What are some tips to help me wear my hijab, to dress a lot more modestly? I know there are brothers as well, right? There are brothers as well who are stuck in, they say, I think, he got caught up in the sauce, huh? He got stuck in the system. What are some of the things that we can do, right? I'm going to mention three things, inshallah ta'ala. Can the brothers at the back please, inshallah ta'ala, quieten down a little bit? Jazakumullah khair. Allah, I love you brothers for the sake of Allah. The fact that you guys came out today, right? Honestly, it means a lot. I'm going to mention three, inshallah ta'ala, points that can help a sister put on a hijab. Or just to pick up good traits, my brothers and my sisters, and it can apply to the brothers as well, just put it into context. The first one, my brothers and my sisters, a sister can help herself by putting on the hijab is by hanging around with people that wear the hijab. And brothers, likewise, you want to do certain things, it becomes a lot more easier when you're hanging around with brothers that do that. Let me ask you guys a question. In the month of Ramadan, isn't it easier for us to fast in the month of Ramadan than outside the month of Ramadan? Why? Because everyone's doing it. Have you guys heard of the man who killed 99? And then he ended up killing 100 as well? You guys heard of it? He ended up killing the monk because the monk said, there's no way for you to be forgiven. So he went to a scholar, a person of knowledge. He said to him, yes, even after killing 100, you can be forgiven. He said to him, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا. Leave this city and go there. فَإِنَّ بِهَا أُنَاسًا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مَعَهُمْ. There is a group of people there who worship Allah. Go and worship Allah with them. Are you brothers and sisters with me? When you're around them, it will be a lot more easier for you to leave off sins and to be doing good deeds. So the sister wants to wear the hijab. A brother who wants to get out of that system. Right? This is what you're going to have to do. Number two, and this is more specific to our sisters. Remember, every time you're wearing the hijab, right, you are being rewarded for it. And this is only exclusive to you. There's no equal rights here. Right? Every time you wear the hijab outside, you're getting rewarded for it. My sister, be proud. Some sisters, their moms don't allow them to wear it. And they're asking me, well, what can I do? Please help me. People want to practice Islam like that. We get questions sometimes. I want to pray inside of my house, but my mom doesn't allow me. Can I pray in the toilet? Especially with reverts, can I pray in the toilet? Right? People are so desperate to practice their religion while we are trying to run away, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Remember, every commandment of Allah and every prohibition, it is in your own best interest, whether you see it or not. The system, my brothers and my sisters, it's flawed. Right? Liberal values. Live and let be, go and do as you wish. Right? And then the third point is, my brothers and my sisters, that which will help you a lot with good company, right? And it will perhaps, inshallah ta'ala, impact you spiritually. Who you're following on Instagram. My sister, you should not be following some of these Instagram influencers. Sometimes we think just because Allah told us to lower our gaze from the opposite gender, that's the only time we lower our gaze. Right? These sisters who may start off wearing the hijab, doing makeup tutorials, and then they end up taking off the hijab, that will impact your heart. The way they dress, it will subconsciously creep in. And likewise, you brothers, right? Because of you watching these rappers, right? These trappers, these drug dealers online, Wallahi al-Azim, whether you realize it or not, you begin to behave like them, talk like them, walk like them, right? And even you start making your hair like them. It creeps in subconsciously, my brothers, whether we realize it or not. And then you see yourself, what, dragging your trousers. That's what I can advise you with, inshallah ta'ala.
How long do we have till Isha?
The next question is, can you elaborate on the importance of attending the masjid and not just consuming content online?
My brothers and my sisters, right? The previous question was how to keep good company. You know, I was looking through my Instagram as I was driving here. One of the messages that I received was from a sister. She said, Wallahi, something that I'm really, really struggling with is loneliness. Right? I'm really, really struggling with loneliness. Where do you normally find good company, my brothers and my sisters? On the streets? Toronto downtown? Is that where you find them? In the malls? You find them in the masjids, my brothers and my sisters. Are you guys with me? Right? It is the masjid where your iman goes up. There's a narration. إِذَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْ يَعْتَادُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. If you see somebody going back and forth to the masjid, then bear witness that he has iman. We take from it that your iman goes up. Our iman goes up in Ramadan, doesn't it? Especially in Ramadan, right? When you come for Taraweeh, you know, the Imam, you prayed behind him, your Iman goes up. Sah. Right. My brothers and my sisters, with this content that we take online, right, we're missing out on a lot of barakah. We know the hadith of Abi Huraira, where the angels, you know, they come around to you, the barakah, so on and so forth. And it's only, I'll be honest with you guys, even students of knowledge have struggled with this. When you're just online, just studying yourself, you tend to have a burnout very quickly. Because the shaitan is closer to wahid min ithnain. He's closer to one than two. But when you come to the masjid, you have brothers that you're studying with, doing the work together. It's a lot more easier on the nafs. Sheikh Samatar, can we get some recitation now that you're sitting next to me? Please, Sheikh. Can I say something, my brothers and my sisters? You know, Sheikh Samata became very, very dear to my heart when we was in Medina. Very, very lovely, sincere brother. I don't want to praise him too much to his face. And it brings me so much happiness that we are sitting together today. I wanted him to read Quran, and I'm sure you guys want to hear it. He was the Imam, by the way, at Maghrib time. But he doesn't want to. Inshallah, Sheikh Samatar will answer your questions after. Right? You guys have a lot of questions. You guys have Sheikh Ahmed as well. Where's Ustaz Yusuf Tahleel? I heard he's the OG of the masjid. Where is he? Wugambanoya. Is that what they say it? My Saman is good, right? I'm learning. What's the solution to the one who always goes back to their old sins? Very good question. My brothers, my sisters, take the following from me, right? I don't care if you fall back into that sin 100 times. Every single time, repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَوْ أَلْفَ مَرَّةً as Imam An-Nawawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentioned. Every time, sincerely, you show remorse and you show regret. Right. You make the decision, you're not going to go back to it. And even if you end up going back to it, you do the exact same thing. It's only a matter of time. Keep showing Allah Azza wa Jal that you badly want to stop this sin, and eventually you will stop it. Shall I tell you guys something else that you should do? Every time you fall into that private sin, right? A lot of the time are these private sins, adult content, playing around with yourself, and other filthy sins that we are trapped by. Every time you go back to the addiction, go into the bathroom, make wudu, come out and pray these 2 raka'at of a tawbah. Every time. Are you brothers and sisters with me? The door of repentance open. And every time you do that, just give it inshallah ta'ala a period of time and see what ends up happening. Are you guys with me? Where's the sisters one? Is that a sisters one? No. Yeah. Equal rights, brothers and sisters.
I don't know who's ready though. So.
Where's the sisters one? Brothers, is it mixed? All right together, yeah. So it's a good one. Don't want our sisters upset. How do you recommend seeking knowledge while doing uni? My brothers and my sisters, I don't believe in someone saying I don't have time. I think that's a myth. Right? It's a myth. There's always enough time. If you have your Apple, I don't know about Samsung, right? Put the Samsung to the side. Check your screen time on your Apple phone. How much you're spending on there. I'm sure if we cut that down by a fraction, right? If we'll cut that down by a fraction, we will find enough time. Even if it is, what, 15 or 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. We learn a little bit and we keep consistent on it. Does that make sense? It's always enough time. Many youth struggle with substance abuse and addiction. What are steps that they can take in order to eradicate this from their lives? What should parents, friends, and the community do to support them? I was actually going to say that one thing that we should do is try to support our brothers and sisters who may be suffering from these addictions. Right? You could either support them or push them further away. Secondly, I advise you to get help. Stop being in denial. Stop thinking that you might be okay or you can maybe want defeat yourself. Do you guys have rehab here? Yeah? Is that something that's here? Rehab? Yeah, go to rehab. But you have to first accept that you have a problem. Right? It's one thing identifying the problem, it's another finding the solution. But you have to first accept. Some people, their ego gets in the way. No, I'm not going to do it. Right? You've been tested. Go to rehab. Right? Go to rehab. Right? And then as soon as you come out, change your environment. Spend more time in the masjid.
Yeah.
How do you deal with waswas, whispers of the shaitan when it happens on a daily basis? Are they referring to wudu, salah?
Wudu?
General waswas.
Like?
Just whispers of shaitan to do evil and stuff. Allah
Allah. How do you deal with waswas, whispers of shaitan when it happens on a daily basis? You know, a lot of the time, my brothers and my sisters, this tends to happen when you are alone. I'm just basing it on the number of questions that I receive and the type of questions that I receive. Happens a lot when you are alone, right? Are you guys with me? Again, try to get away from this loneliness by being around others that are doing good. When you begin to feel as if the shaitan is about to get the better of you, you have people that are ready there to remind you. Are you brothers and sisters with me? We have been told that sometimes you might get whispers of the devil to get you to disbelieve, right? وَلْيَسْتَعِدْ بِاللَّهِ وَلْيَنْتَهِ. Tell yourself no and then seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ كَلِمَةً لَوْ قَالَهَا لَذَهَبَ عَنْهُ مَا يَجِدْ. As the Prophet ﷺ said, I know if something, if one was to say it, whatever he's feeling will disappear. Right? Seek refuge in Allah. Try to change that state that you're in. One thing I forgot to mention earlier, with regards to these addictions that we keep having, my brothers and my sisters, I want you guys, when you go home, to write down the sin that you keep falling into, right? And then also write next to it that which is causing you to fall into the sin, right? And then write next to it, what can I do in order to remove these causes that are leading me to that sin? Are you brothers and sisters with me? You want practicality? Do that. كلمة صغيرة عن عقوق الوالدين جزاكم الله خيرا. My brothers and my sisters, you know there's a hadith that really breaks my heart every time I come across it. Right. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was going around the Kaaba. You know the companion that we mentioned earlier, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As he was doing tawaf around the Kaaba, he saw a man that was carrying his mother on his shoulders. Please, brothers and sisters, listen to this point that I'm about to make. He was carrying his mother on his shoulders. Right? You know the mother that we make cry? The mother that we think is backwards, that we give a hard time to. He's doing tawaf around the Kaaba. He sees this man who's carrying his mother and comes up to Abdullah ibn Umar and he says, have I fulfilled the rights of my mother? He said, la. Right? Not even a single talqa. Not even a single, right? You guys know what a talqa is? Talqa is what? Right? A contraction. Have anyone here ever seen a woman in labor? You know when a woman is in labor, right? These pains that she begins to get every couple of minutes, that is unbearable. Maybe in 1 hour she gets 30 to 25 or 25 to 30, right? Of these pains. He said, not even a single one of them. You will only know when you see your wife in labor. She's about to what? Give birth to your son. What they have to go through. He said, not even a single talqa. وَلَكِنَّكَ أَحْسَنْتَ. But you've done great. وَاللَّهُ يُجْزِي عَلَى الْقَلِيلِ كَثِيرًا. Right? Allah Azza wa will reward you immensely for a little that you do. He'll give you a lot. Not even a single talqa, my brothers and my sisters. Are you guys with me? Right? Everything that they've done for us, and now what? We grow old and we think we've become something, we throw it back on their faces, right? Remember, guys, what goes around comes around. Like I said earlier, every single one of you wants to get married and then they want to have kids. Right? You want your treats, you want your kids to treat you like that? Go do as you wish. Go do as you wish. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you're well and thank you for your speech. I was wondering, is tabarruj, does it include not wearing makeup? Jazakallahu khairan. My brothers and my sisters, the two pillars to modesty are the following. Number one, right? Or should I say, the two pillars of the hijab are what? The following. Number one, you need to be dressing modestly. What does modesty mean? According to the Islamic dress code, right? Sheikh Al-Albani, if you Google, right, the conditions of hijab, Sheikh Al-Albani, one of the first things that comes up is some of the conditions in what the hijab entails. Allah tells us, Ya Nabi, yuqul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'i al-mu'minina yudnina alayhinna min jalabi bihinna. Right, take a look at that, inshallah ta'ala. And the second, my brothers and my sisters, is that one should not be drawing attention to herself. Allah says, وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. You shouldn't what? Huh? Make noise with your feet, clatter your feet on the ground. Because this is going to what? Draw attention. So anything that comes under drawing attention to yourself, one needs to avoid altogether. Of course, there are things that are natural. If you're good looking, we can't take that away from you. Does that make sense? I can't tell you now, I don't know, huh? Rip your face apart, la. There are certain things that you have no control of. However, putting on makeup, my brothers and my sisters, is one of those things that draws attention to yourself. It falls under beautifying yourself, which is what impermissible the moment you go outside. What's my evidence for it? The Messenger of Allah said, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. Don't stop, right, your female folk from going to the masjid. I am not allowed to stop my wife or my daughter or my mother from going to the masjid. I'm not allowed to do that. Allah prohibited me from doing that. If she wants to go and she seeks permission, I have to allow her. However, وَلْيَخْرُجْنَ وَهُنَّ تَلِفَاتِ. When they leave, they have to leave in a state where they're what? Unbeautified, unscented. You're not wearing perfume, right? أَيُّمَ مَرَأَةٍ تَعَطَرَتْ. Messenger of Allah is any woman who puts on perfume and then she walks past men to be smelt, right? She's a zaniya, she's a fornicatress, the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam said. Does that make sense? We've got quite a few questions pertaining to the salah. What are some of the things that I could do in order to help myself pray the prayer? Number one, my brothers and my sisters, you know the sins that we fall into, right? It affects our prayer. The sins that we fall, my brothers and sisters, into, right? It affects our prayer. Ibn al-Qayyim in his kitab, Ighathatul Lahfan fi Masayid al-Shaytan, where he talks about the tricks and the traps of the devil, right? He brings the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where he says, Al-ghina'u yumbitu an-nifaqa fil qalb. Music, right, it causes hypocrisy to grow in your heart. And then he explains how that happens. From the points that he mentions, my brothers and my sisters, is that when one now wants to go out to the prayer, he begins to feel extremely lazy. A lot of people, that struggle with their prayer, he says, it's perhaps maybe because of the music that they listen to. Right? He mentioned that, Abdullah Mas'ud, that music causes hypocrisy, right? وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. Allah tells about the hypocrites, when they stand up for the prayer, they stand up very lax and lazy manner. Sins have a big impact in the acts of worship that we do. Does that make sense? What will really help you with staying on top of your prayers, my brothers and my sisters, is that go and pray in the masjid for a set period of time. Go to the masjid, wait for the salah, fajr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha. What I maybe understood from one of the questions is that because of, right, sometimes you forget, you're too busy, right? Structure your day around the prayers. Get one of these alarms. I have an alarm clock that is more louder than the police sirens. He's laughing, right? Because he's in the other room when we're sleeping in the hotel and he wakes him up. Police sirens is louder than that. Set it up for the salah times. 15 minutes before, go to the salah, pray in the masjid. Get used to that routine for a set period of time. Psychologists say if you want to introduce a new habit or get rid of a bad one, you need between 29 to 40 days. Do that. And inshallah ta'ala, it will become an integral part of your life. Download this app on your iPhone. I don't know if it's available on Samsung, right? It is called Loud Alarm. Loud Alarm. Right? Download it. And inshallah ta'ala, right, it will set the house on fire.
Last question. I think we have like 2 minutes, inshallah. How to advise my brother to start making music or listening to music?
Listen to making music. Question that somebody's asking is, how do I advise my brother to stop making music? How do I advise my siblings? You know, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi says something very powerful. He says, al-ma'asiyatu baridu al-kufr. The sin, it is the first spark to disbelief. It is the first spark to disbelief. Many of us don't actually understand how sins work. We think it's just a sin and then I can just go back to my life. No. It is the first spark to disbelief. كَمَا أَنَّ الْقُبْلَةَ بَرِيدُ الْجِمَاعِ. Just as, you know, the kiss, would you agree that it's the first spark to sexual intercourse? Sah? Kiss leads straight away to sexual intercourse. And then he says, right, كَمَا أَنَّ الْغِنَى بَرِيدُ الزِّنَى. Right, just as music, it leads to fornication, it leads to a zina. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Even Ibn al-Jawzi, was it, or Ibn al-Qayyim? Na'am, Ibn al-Qayyim in his kitab Ighathatul Ahfan, he says, وَكَمْ مِنْ حُرَّةٍ سَارَتْ بِالْغِنَى مِنَ الْبَغَايَى. How many women do we know? Because of music, she became from amongst the prostitutes. Right. Let's be honest here, when we listen to music, we listen to this grime or to this drill and whatever have you, right? How does it make us feel? Doesn't it affect the way we think and the way we behave? Right. So my advice with you be to be gentle with your younger brothers and siblings and to maybe build a relationship. Right. Sometimes what happens is the only time we advise our siblings is when they've done something wrong. When only they've done something wrong, that's the only time we're speaking to them. Maybe take them out. Try to break that barrier of awkwardness, right? Where you do things for one another, or you are there at their service, take them out to maybe what? Ice cream parlor. Or as these brothers have been saying, Tim Hortons, huh? Wallahi, up until now, I don't see what you guys see in Tim Hortons. But just taking them out, being nice to them, my brothers and my sisters, right? When you show them that you care about them, perhaps inshallah ta'ala, they'll begin to accept the advices. Also make a lot of dua for them in your sujood that they move away from this music. Because the hearts can be changed very, very easily with a dua, my brothers and my sisters.